Hello once again, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
I'd like to share with you an insight into what it means to work in the Vatican, like I do. When you work in these circles, there's some questions you frequently get asked. For example, on many an occasion during the past months, I've been quizzed as to whether I've heard if the Tridentine Rite is going to be reintroduced. It's an issue that seems to set alight the interest of many Catholics. Among these, the nostalgics who wish to return to the old rite, and those who feel instead rather strongly that the reintroduction is right off track. Well, I certainly don't have a crystal ball, so I can't satisfy people's curiosity and foresee the future as regards the outcome of this debate, should there be any. But what I do have is a microphone to help me find out more about this Tridentine Rite. Also because beyond those who vehemently take sides for or against it, there are also those like myself who simply don't know too much about it, thinking at times that the debate is merely about language and not mentality. So what I did was take my microphone along to interview a liturgist and sacramental theologian, the Superior General of the Viatorians, Father Mark Francis. And if you stay tuned, you can hear what he told me about the Tridentine Rite.
Tridentine, is that how you pronounce it? The Tridentine Mass?
Sure. The so-called Tridentine Mass is kind of a shorthand way of referring to the liturgy. The technical term is the liturgy of Pius V, the Missal of Pius V that was promulgated in 1570.
It was supposed to last forever.
And it was expected to last forever in a real sense.
It lasted till 40 years ago.
And it lasted about 400 years until 1970, more or less. And so it was the only Eucharistic liturgy that the Latin Rite of the Roman Catholic Church had for those 400 years. But it's important to keep in mind that the Latin Rite is not the only rite within the Roman Catholic Church, that there are 22 other rites of the Church, 22 other different ways of praising God through the Eucharist, with other languages, with other calendars of saints and other practices. And so the diversity of the Catholic Church, we need to really reappropriate now that we live in a very multicultural world, and just to understand that the Latin way of doing things is not the only way.
In other words, it's not just a question of using Latin, but there was an advantage in the Tridentine Mass. It was available to everybody in the old days because of the use of the Latin language.
It's true that the parts of the priest were all in Latin, and they were invariable. They never changed. But even during that 400 years when the so-called Tridentine Rite was in use, the way in which people worshiped was very different. Take, for example, the difference between a sumptuous Mass celebrated in Austria with full choir and processions, those kind of thing, and a Mass celebrated furtively in the hedgerows of Ireland during the penal laws. The experience of going to Mass, even though the words were the same and supposedly the rite was the same, was extremely different. And so a lot of our cultural differences in terms of how we understand worship really begin during this time when supposedly the Mass is celebrated in the exact same way throughout the world.
The word Tridentine presumably comes from Trent.
It comes from the Council of Trent. The Council of Trent, which was celebrated in the 16th century, mandated the Holy See to issue a missal purged of the abuses of the Middle Ages, because there are several problems that pertain to the celebration of the Eucharist during the Middle Ages that the Council of Trent sought to rectify. And so this missal, promulgated during the pontificate of Pius V in 1570, was indeed that missal which was purged of all those abuses.
So it's incorrect to say that the Tridentine Mass was celebrated for 1,500 years?
Oh, that's very inaccurate. Certainly the tradition of the various prayers of the Missal of Pius V or the so-called Tridentine Mass go back to, some of them go back as far as the 5th century, 4th and 5th century. Compositions were put together, collated, for the use of parishes here in Rome, for example. And you see evidences of it today, even in our translation of some of the hallowed prayers of the Roman Rite. For example, the first Eucharistic prayer. The list of saints in the first Eucharistic prayer are saints that were particularly beloved to the Romans. The same thing of the naming of the various popes in the list of saints also indicates that this was a very local prayer that was later made universal.
The Tridentine Mass wasn't actually banned after Vatican II, was it?
Well, the Tridentine Mass, when the promulgation of the new missal took place, was in a certain sense overshadowed, because there was never a time in the history of the Church where we had two official rites. Holy Father John Paul II gave an indult to people who were so attached to the old rite that for their spiritual benefit, he enabled priests to offer this Mass for them so that they wouldn't be discouraged, that they could continue going to Mass in the old way. It was meant as a kind of a means of helping people in their spiritual life, especially those older people who found it hard to adapt. That was a sense of the indult that was given in the 1980s.
So what happened with Lefebvre then? Was he given an indult? But he was excommunicated for different purposes, no?
Well, I think it's important to understand that whether or not one accepts the Roman Rite or the new liturgy of Vatican II is an indication if does one accept the teachings of the Ecumenical Council of Vatican II as well. And in the case of Archbishop Lefebvre, he not only rejected the Mass, the liturgy of Vatican II, or the Missal of Paul VI, he basically rejects the Vatican Council. Vatican Council II. And so as a result, the product of this council is indeed the liturgy, and so it was for him kind of a sign or a symbol of his rejection of what he considered to be a deviation in the history of the Church. That is also, to a certain extent, the case of some of the other groups that have broken from the Roman Catholic Church and who insist on celebrating the liturgy according to the Tridentine fashion. The basic problem with all this is that it's a doctrinal problem as well as a liturgical problem. And those who refuse to accept the new liturgy and consider it illegitimate basically also consider Vatican II illegitimate.
Is part of the Tridentine rite for the priest to celebrate with his back to the congregation?
Indeed, that's part and parcel of the way in which the rite is celebrated. It's a question of mediation in a certain sense, where if you look at the Tridentine rite, the priest was the mediator between God and the people, and he stood between the altar and the people and that kind of represents that kind of a mediation. After Vatican II, we turn the altars around, and the priest faces the people with the table between them, in a real sense saying that this table is a common table, belongs to all of the Christians gathered, and therefore the presence of Christ is in our midst, not being drawn down upon the altar from heaven above. In a real sense, that shift exemplifies well some of the teachings of the Second Vatican Council.
So what's the interest in talking about the Tridentine Mass right now, if some people are allowed to celebrate the Tridentine Mass anyway?
Well, I think they're allowed to celebrate it only by way of exception, and not by way of just a general way of celebration. I think that particular discipline is rather important, because indeed we only have one rite, the Latin rite of the Roman Catholic Church, and that is the rite that was approved by Paul VI, the Vatican II liturgy, which best exemplifies or best illustrates who we are as Church, what we believe today as Christians in terms of our understanding of Church, understanding of sacraments. All those things are encompassed in the celebration itself. Part of the problem today, I still think, even 40 years after the Council, was that the way in which the liturgical changes were introduced and these changes in custom and this kind of thing, we didn't do it very well. We didn't give very much catechesis. We simply, from one day to the other, we changed the liturgy without giving people time to really think about what these changes might mean and how indeed they illustrate the teachings of the Second Vatican Council. And so as a result, there are some people, and many of those people found themselves in a certain sense disagreeing with the Church, who find themselves outside the Church because they don't understand why the changes were made.
Does one say Tridentine Mass or Tridentine Rite?
Well, you know, there's the Tridentine Rite of Mass. There's also the Tridentine Rites of the sacraments can be celebrated in the Tridentine way. And, for example, you know, when we could celebrate a funeral with the Tridentine Rite, which was always, it would be the Dies Irae, for example, which the days of wrath, and it's a long Latin hymn that was sung at every funeral that speaks of the days of wrath and the second coming of Christ and the judgment and all that. All that was changed with Vatican II. It's a beautiful hymn, the Dies Irae, but it's also very, very scary in a real sense.
Oh.
And so part of the liturgical reform after Vatican II was to take another look at how these sacraments or the funeral was celebrated, to talk about Christian hope, Christian life, how the gospel itself gives us a cue in terms of understanding what happens to us at death. That's not to say that the Dies Irae was illegitimate, that it wasn't a good thing necessarily for its time, but that now, after several centuries of Christian living, we have another attitude or another way of understanding a Christian death and how to celebrate it.
Anything you'd like to add on the Tridentine Mass?
The Tridentine Mass served the Church well for several centuries, but in a real sense, after the Council of Trent, the Tridentine Mass was established in such a way that it could only be celebrated in one particular way. The rubrics or the ceremonial directives were invariable. It was hedged around by law, and it was estimated, for example, that a priest, in celebrating the Mass, could sin hundreds of ways. And some of those ways were mortal sins. And that's in the introduction to the Tridentine Mass. We have a different attitude today in terms of how we understand the liturgy and how the priest and the people need to celebrate it. We don't emphasize the fact that if you deviate from the rubrics, that there's a sin involved. Though I think we probably have all experienced the fact that there are times where you know that the priest is sinning liturgically if he deviates too much from what the basic rite is supposed to be. The Tridentine rite, which was in vigor for 400 years, in a certain sense was an anomalous time in the Church. Because before that time, the rites, the liturgy of the Mass, liturgy of the various sacraments, developed and changed over the course of each century. It was only with Trent in 1570 and the possibility of making everything uniform through the use of the printing press that made the liturgy fixed and stable.
There's not only the use of Latin in the Tridentine Mass, there's Hebrew as well, and then there's lots of silence in the Tridentine Mass, no?
There's the Aramaic, there's Hebrew, there's Greek. I once gave a talk about, they gave me the title for this talk, Whatever Happened to the Kyrie? And someone stood up at the end of my talk and said, yes, we want to bring back the Latin Mass, we want to be able to sing Kyrie again. Well, Kyrie is Greek, it's not Latin. it comes from that interchange between the Eastern and Western churches. The rite itself, the traditional rite, was something that, for example, in the Holy Holy, and they're talking about returning to this phraseology of the
Sanctus,
Holy Holy, or the Sanctus, Holy Holy Holy, Lord God Sabaoth.
Sanctus.
Rather than Lord God of power and might. Sabaoth is Hebrew for God of the armies. The translation is always going to be limping in terms of how we're going to understand God. But there's an instance of that even in the ancient Latin where they preserve certain words from Hebrew and from Greek.
Thanks there go to liturgist and sacramental theologian, Superior General of the Viatorians, Father Mark Francis, for so generously sharing with us his expertise. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.